1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
All right, welcome to the program. Week one of high school football is in the books. We'll talk about that a bit. Soccer underway for Murray State, a successful beginning to that. And the fall camp for Murray State football has also been put to bed with the final scrimmage this past Saturday. So let's get into it. Really a great beginning for Murray State soccer as they pick up a 1-0 win over Western Kentucky on Friday. And then on Sunday, they hosted Northern Kentucky University, and they win 2-1. So they go to 2-0 on the season. Maya Watford getting her first goal 8 minutes into the match on an assist from Abby Jones. Northern Kentucky tied it early in the second half. And then a minute 40 into overtime, Jones found Watford again for the game winner. Watford under the weather and didn't practice the day before. Head coach Matt Lodge questioned whether he should even start her, and then decided to. I think he made the right choice.
You know, she wants to put the team on her back. I looked in her eyes when we went out for overtime, and I just could tell she's going to finish this game. And I actually grabbed her and said, "You're going to finish this game." And she said, "Yeah, I am." And, you know, she did.
That she did. On the day, the Racers had 19 shots with 8 on goal. NKU had 9 shots with 3 on goal. So Murray State 2-0. They're back in action at home on Friday at 3. They'll host IUPUI. Speaking of Murray State football, they will be in action a week from Thursday. In fact, the opening of college football is actually this weekend. Jacksonville State plays a game. So we will have football on TV this weekend. For those of you who love college football, I know I do, so I can't wait to see that. Racers are going to kick off a week from Thursday against SIU at Stewart Stadium. They conducted their final scrimmage of fall camp. This was a kind of a different one, as you'll hear when we talk with Coach Mitch Stewart about that. He gathered around the media. We asked him a few questions following the scrimmage.
Well, Coach, maybe just an opening statement, what you tried to do today and where you guys are.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's probably most people who came to watch today, they're probably a little bit confused on what exactly it was. It was a kick scrimmage. So that was kind of our main focus. The only things that we did offensively and defensively was we got a little bit of Skelly there at the beginning, got some inside run, did a little goal line period. We're really trying to develop some toughness up front. So we wanted to make sure that we got our goal line periods in and our inside run periods. And then the rest of it was just devoted to all kicking game. Had the officials out here, which obviously they loved that. That was good work for them. But we just went through a bunch of situations, anything from just a regular PAT to a win the game PAT. To an onside kick, to a hands team, just kind of went the gamut of special teams. And it was really, really good work for us. I thought the players did a really good job handling what today was all about.
The first 25 minutes, what did you see out of guys like Preston, Shuler, Bognar, as far as some of those throws and the goal line situation?
Yeah, a lot of a lot of it was just those guys, especially Bogue. Bognar, he's a guy who hasn't got a lot of reps up to this point. So it's just good to get some tape on him and see his progression. He's a football junkie, so he's always ready to go. And I thought he showed that, you know, when his opportunity arose, he took it and ran with it. So he did a nice job. And the other guys just trying to make sure we're making good decisions. You know, Preston Rice yesterday had a practice where he had a couple of turnovers, a couple of dumb decisions. So it was good to see him kind of correct those decisions, check the ball down when needed. But also, you know, his game is he's no risk it, no biscuit type of guy, you know, and so he took a couple of those shots, which is good to see. So overall, just good work, you know, good work by those guys.
How firm is your depth chart at this point, especially ones and twos, still some battles going?
There are some positions that are pretty solidified. We're still going to go into this next week before we make those decisions, and then the middle of this week, we'll start making those decisions for what we call future purposes, which will be our what other people call scout teams. I've just never liked that word, so we call them futures. So we'll make those decisions, A, so that JC can know who he's working with during the season with travel lifting times and then non-travel guys. So we'll make those decisions going into this week. We've still got a couple of battles that are out there as far as who's the one and who's the two, but we're pretty solidified right now on who's traveling and who's not.
How excited are you about a rule where you can
redshirt
play
rule.
Guys, the redshirt rule?
No question. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I just, for us, okay, so there's a couple of different ways to look at it. Evaluation standpoints, you get to travel guys. So the rule is you get four games. And then after four games, you got to decide whether to play the fifth or they can redshirt. So you basically got a four-game grace period. And guys that can help you, you have the ability now to put those guys on the bus and let them take snaps. And the reason why that's so important for me is some people use it on the front end, and they say, hey, we're gonna use this to get better evaluations on the front end, which I think that's great, and we're going to do that too. But mainly for us, it's on the back end. When you get into those 8th, 9th, 10th weeks of the season and you got some dudes banged up, well, in the past it was – I'm not going to pull this red shirt off this kid. You're going to have to tough it out. And you put that kid out there, and he's toughing it out, but he can only do that for so many plays.
Yeah.
And then it really starts to hurt the team. And now, it's safer for those guys because now you can, hey, you got four snaps in you, and then I'll get you off for four snaps, and I'll put this guy in. So it's safer for those guys, and it's better for the team as a whole.
I talked about the kicking. How are you as far as – I know Gabe, he did a great job today, but what about punting? Can I have a new punter? Do you like what you
see? Yeah, we got Steve Dawson, our Australian. He's a mate. He's awesome, and he can kick it. He can kick all kind of different kicks. You saw a little bit of that today. He did some straight on, some rugbies, and some all of that. Whatever you want him to do, he can do it. And plus, he's just a phenomenal person. The kids like him, so he kind of gives us a little bit of dynamics on our punt team as far as what we can do there. Sappington, I tell you, James Sappington is probably a kid I don't talk about enough. This is a kid that's running tight end for us. He's probably got some of the best hands on the team. He's made a tremendous amount of plays for us at tight end. Plus, he goes in there. He's a backup kicker behind Gabe. Went 4-for-4 yesterday, went 3-for-4 today, and he's the backup punter and loves doing it all. Was a guy who came in and asked me, could he move to tight end? Could he get some reps there? But he didn't want to stop all of his kicking. Plus, he's our starting kickoff kicker. We've got a lot of depth, a lot of tools to play with right there. And then, obviously, we got the crazy Cuban, Gabe, as we call him. He's been just as good as he's always been, just as crazy as he's always been. So been a lot of fun to watch those guys go to work.
All right, that is head coach Mitch Stewart concerning the scrimmage. So they're finished with that part of it. They're now kind of into sort of game week mode, not 100% this week. They'll do some other things, and then they'll get on to the preparation for Southern Illinois. They'll be coming in again a week from Thursday. In fact, a week from tonight, we'll have our first Hey Coach show with Mitch Stewart. We'll be live from the Big Apple Cafe. We'll talk Racer football. That first week show is usually a lot of information. We'll go over the depth chart in terms of offense and defense, special teams, talk about the upcoming game against SIU. So that'll be a week from tonight. Love to have you in the audience there at the Big Apple Cafe. Get underway at 6. I really enjoy those. A lot of fans are able to come out, and if you can't, we do archive the show for you, and it is broadcast live, of course, on Froggy, and you can catch that then. High school football got underway Friday night. Murray High, not the best of openings. They had 5 turnovers, lost to Graves County 41-21. There were some really good bright spots for them, though. Chase Maris with a couple of touchdowns. He ran for one. He caught one. Hunter Utley, he was decent at quarterback, 25-for-39, 297 passing yards. But there were really too many mistakes. There were penalties, and, that happens a lot in the opening week, or as KHSAA determines that as week zero. It's a 10-week season with a week zero thrown in. Nevertheless, not to begrudge that point, Murray High back in action this week. They'll take on a Callaway County team. I was talking with Blake Brunier. They scrimmaged, I think it was Union County this past week. So that was, even though they didn't play a game, they did scrimmage. So they'll get their first taste of action in this Crosstown Classic. The Murray Bank Crosstown Classic will be played at Jack Rose Stadium this year. 7 o'clock kickoff. WNBS has the Tiger coverage with Jeremy Bell and Harold Houston. And Blake Bernier will have the Callaway County coverage. We'll have that for you on 104.5 WBZB. And by the way, for you WNBS sports listeners, not going to let the cat out of the bag yet, but a really exciting announcement on coverage plans for Murray High. football coming up in just a few weeks, and it'll also translate to Murray State women's basketball and more. But just hang on. The announcement is coming up very soon. The other games, there was one played Saturday. That was the Paducah-Tillman-McCracken County game. Everything else is Friday night. Mayfield, a little scare early on. They were behind Union City, but they rallied to win 43-27. Ballard Memorial defeated South Fulton 50-12. Fulton County rolled Gleason 44-0. Marshall County opened with a 34-12 win over Fort Campbell. Tillman beating McCracken County 35-6 Saturday. Owensboro a 41-13 winner over Madisonville. Trigg County, I think they were down 20-0. They rallied a win 34-20 over Monroe County. Christian County over Caldwell County, not the offensive shootout some expected. 11-6 Christian County won. South Warren over Hopkinsville 49-17. Crittenden County beat Stewart County 42-6. Hopkins Central 20, Webster County 12, and Greenfield with a 1-0 decision over Fulton City. That was a forfeit. Fulton City did not have enough players available to play. High school soccer results from Saturday. Murray High downing Caldwell County 5-0. Madisonville North Hopkins beating Callaway in girls soccer 4-3 Saturday. Only one local team in action tonight in girls soccer. Murray High at home. They will host Carlisle County. First year, Murray State head baseball coach Dan Skirka has hired Tanner Gordon, Kent Rollins, and Ryan Fushi to round out his coaching staff. Gordon will serve as his pitching coach. He brings 7 years of coaching experience with him, spending the last three seasons at Trevecca Nazarene University. Rollins joins the Razors as an assistant coach. He comes to Murray State after serving as an assistant coach at Georgia College and State University the past two seasons. And Fushi joins the staff as a volunteer assistant coach after serving as an instructor at the Kentucky Baseball and Softball Academy in Lexington for the past 2 years. Marcus Mariota threw a touchdown pass, but the Titans went on to lose to the Buccaneers 30-14 in preseason action on Saturday. Ed Marlowe attended that game. So we'll talk with Ed about how the Titans looked in person. I believe he'll join us again on Wednesday. Blaine Gabbert threw for 116 yards and a touchdown, 10 of 16 in the setback. The Titans visit the Steelers this Saturday in their third preseason game. The Ohio Valley Conference has announced an 8-game football Game of the Week package that will be carried exclusively on ESPN3 this fall. The first game airs September 29th with the final four games of the package beginning October 27th as wild card selections, which will be announced about 12 days before the contest. This marks the sixth straight season the league has produced the Game of the Week package in conjunction with Tupelo Raycom. The matchups previously announced include Austin Peay at Jacksonville State September 29th, Tennessee State at Austin Peay October 6th, Eastern Illinois at Jacksonville State October 13th, UT Martin at Eastern Illinois on October 20th. Murray State not in any of those. I have the same feelings about this as I do the basketball package. To me, you should feature the better teams in the league. That means the top. And right now, Murray State's not there. We get the basketball. The Racers should be at the top. And they should have more games on the packages. That's my opinion. Not just them, the top teams, three or four teams. You want to put your best teams out there. Hopefully, this will be the season Murray State will start to climb up into the top, and then I'll expect to see the Racers in some of these games. And who knows? Maybe this will be the season. Remember, these four games are the ones that have been decided. Racers perhaps could get off to a terrific beginning and end up in one or more of the wild card games because they pick the best games. I think that's the best way to do it. That way you're not saddled with a couple of teams that perhaps due to injuries have a disappointing season. You know, Austin Peay, they're kind of the Johnny come lately. They were bad 2 years ago. They were really good last year. Are they good enough to sustain it? Well, we'll find out. If so, they may be on some of these additional games. But good to have that package. And there will also be some announcements coming up concerning ESPN Plus and OVC Digital. I'm not sure when that'll happen, but get ready for it. That is on the way. Mike Moustakas smacked a two-run double in the third as the Brewers held on to beat the Cardinals 2-1 yesterday at Busch Stadium. Starter Julius Chacin notched his 13th win. After pitching six shutout innings for Milwaukee, they ended a three-game slide. They're a game and a half ahead of the Cardinals in the National League Central. Patrick Wisdom drilled his first major league homer in the eighth for St. Louis. They took two of three to win the series, and John Gant, the starting pitcher yesterday, said that was big. Gave a lot of credit to the bullpen for that.
Great series win, though. You know, still firing. We were in it till the end there, and it's a great job by the bullpen to throw up a bunch of donuts after that. They had to pick up, five innings. It's a great job.
And Wisdom talked about that first homer.
The work doesn't stop. I mean, that's my mindset is like, you know, I want to embrace the moment and, you know, take this all in because it is something special and something that you've worked hard for your whole life. But, you know, you got to take it in stride and then keep moving forward.
Chris Carpenter also delighted with the series victory.
Win two out of three against the team you're chasing and then be in the last game, you know, a couple swings away. Like we mentioned, I mean, my ball thought I hit it good enough to tie it, and Jed thought he hit it good enough to tie it. So it just didn't work out. But, I mean, overall, really well-played game.
And it was. They were in it. The Cardinals on the West Coast to begin a three-game series tonight against the Dodgers in Los Angeles. These are games I don't get to see much of because I happen to be on the air as early as I do. Usually watch a little and then hit the sack by 10. Austin Gomber's been really good. He'll be on the hill for the Cardinals, and L.A. will counter with Alex Wood. Two contenders for postseason play going at it. Airtime for the 9-10 game is 8:15 this evening on 1340 WNBS. Down on the farm, the first-place Memphis Redbirds lost the series finale 3-1 to Round Rock yesterday at AutoZone Park. They were the victim of back-to-back-to-back homers. Tommy Joseph, Andy Ibanez, and Carlos Perez hitting those off Redbirds starter Austin Warner in the fifth. Memphis led 1-0 after the second inning following a Justin Williams home run. The Redbirds off today. They'll open a three-game set in New Orleans tomorrow night. The Louisville Bats beat the Charlotte Knights 3-1. And the Nashville Sounds knocked off New Orleans 5-4. Both teams are off tonight. The Bats host Toledo tomorrow while the Sounds will visit Round Rock. All right, I think that has everything caught up. Again, we have more high school football coming up this week. Tomorrow, Josh Plenos will be along. We'll talk about any recent articles he's written. We'll get the latest on the NBA, the NFL, and more. So that is coming up tomorrow. And then on Wednesday at Marlowe, we'll also preview the high school football slate and more for you. And the early games for college football. Not many, but there are a few games. We'll talk about those coming up. I think maybe just a couple of games this weekend, but at least we'll have some college football to talk about, and love to have you along.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.